Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts. I'm Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Thank you for joining us today. If you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 16, we will start reading with verse 2. And the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then saith the Lord to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day, that they may prove or test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And verse 35 tells us, And the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years, until they came to an inherited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. After the phenomenal deliverance from Egypt, triumph and victory at the Red Sea, the changing of bitter waters to sweet waters, and the oases at Elim with 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, you would think by now that the people of God would be firmly established in the faith. You would think that they would implicitly trust God. And you would think that if God saved you in a calamity and through multiple disasters, tragedies, and adversities, that you would have confidence and you would learn to believe and trust in God. But the Israelites were running out of food, and nothing gets you complaining more than an empty stomach or an empty pantry or a refrigerator. They said, God doesn't care that we're starving out here. But almost 2.5 months had passed since they left Egypt, and they were getting concerned about their diminishing supplies of food. The people of God confused what they wanted with what they actually needed. And this is often the source of our discontentment, thinking that our greeds are really our needs. They complained that their situation was worse than it actually was. They also did something else that complainers often do. They grossly exaggerated the advantages of their former captive condition. They said to themselves, Remember the old days? Remember how we stuffed and ate till our bellies were full in Egypt? Remember when we would go down to the grocery stores in Egypt and fill up our shopping carts, and we would buy the specials and have plenty of food to eat? They looked back with longing on their time in Egypt, and when they would fill their bellies at the restaurants and at the buffet tables in Egypt. At least that's how they remembered it when they got hungry after a few months in the wilderness. But in truth, it is doubtful whether Pharaoh fed them meat at all, and certainly not an all-you-can-eat buffet. And if he fed them meat at all, it was only so that they could work harder and longer to build his cities. Nevertheless, the Israelites longed to go back to Egypt, proving once again that it is much easier to get them out of Egypt than it was to get Egypt out of them. We often look back at experiences and romanticize and glamorize brutal and harsh times in our lives, and we start to think to ourselves sometimes, it wasn't all that bad, but I'm here to tell you today, yes, it was bad. Yes, it was harsh. Yes, it was brutal. And you need to thank God every day for deliverance from that place where God delivered you from. The people of God were spinning out of control. They said to Moses and Aaron, "Are you trying to kill us out here? Are you attempting homicide, if not genocide?" Moses had done nothing but sacrificed himself for these people over months and over years. And now Moses and Aaron are being accused of trying to destroy Israel in the wilderness. But God said the people were not complaining and murmuring and grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They were complaining against him. The Lord called that a sin. We read in Psalm 78, where David wrote, "They continued to sin against God and to rebel against the Most High in the wilderness. They deliberately tested God by demanding the food they craved." Moses recognized immediately that the people were not complaining against him, but instead they were complaining against God, as we see in Exodus 16 and 8. For it reads, "For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And who are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Sometimes we take out our frustrations on the wrong people, and especially people who are close to us. Psychologists call these things displacement, and this is a common human trait. Memory has a way of diminishing the bad things of our past. But the people of God were really angry with God at this point, and this is why. God always takes our complaints personally. He knows that when we grumble about our personal circumstances or anything else, that we are really doing it to find fault with him, and we're complaining about what he has provided or not provided, as the case may be. A complaining spirit always indicates a problem in our relationship with God. But these Israelites were in open rebellion against God. They were saying that they wish they had died in Egypt rather than to be in a relationship with God in the wilderness. They were saying, "We wish you had never saved us." But the Bible said, even though they complained against God, God said in Exodus 16:11 that, "I have heard your complaints. I have heard your murmuring." I thank God that he is so gracious that he does not kill us in our transgressions, and that he's so merciful that he hears us even in our complaints and in our murmurings. What he was saying to them is this: "I have heard your grumblings, and I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to feed you instead with bread from heaven." And I like to call this bread from heaven the real Wonder Bread. God gave his people two promises. He said, "I'm going to give you meat this evening, as much as you can eat. And every morning from now on, I'm going to give you bread in the morning, but just enough to fill yourself for that particular day." God caused a strong wind to blow from the west, and I'm not sure where the birds came from, but some scholars tell us that the birds, perhaps quail, was blown 20 miles off their seasonal migratory route by strong winds, and they ended up in the camp of Israel, tired and exhausted, and they landed right in the front of the tents of the people of Israel, and the children of Israel had nothing to do but to go out and collect and eat as much meat as they could possibly eat. But we know, of course, no one can cause a strong wind like that except our God. But the manner that he gave them was somewhat different than the meat that he gave them. In Psalm 78, King David said of the manner that men ate angels' food. He sent them food that filled them up. He called it the food of angels. The Apostle Paul called the manner spiritual meat in 1 Corinthians 10:3, because it was typical of spiritual blessings from heavenly places. John, the disciple of Christ, said that the manna was hidden manna, that it was a comfort of the Spirit that came directly from God. The manna is food for us to eat while we are in the wilderness of this world. Matthew said that the manna is the Word of God by which our souls are nourished in Matthew 4 and 4. Whatever it was called, it descended from the heavens and it rained down daily food for the children of Israel. It came down in the morning dew that later melted, and the dew of the morning left this thin white layer of sweet-tasting substance called manna, and it was pleasant to the taste. It was palatable to all who ate it, and no one who tasted it disliked it. Those who ate never got sick. The people who ate the manna didn't die of diseases. They didn't die of starvation. They didn't die from an unbalanced diet or heart disease, high or low blood pressure. The people who ate the manna of God didn't die from heart attacks or strokes. They needed nothing else to sustain them. God gave them the perfect food from heaven, and whatever they ate, it was a perfect portion, just enough and not too much. Isn't God a great God? And when the people first saw the manna, they asked in Exodus 16 and 15, "What is it? What is this strange thing?" They had never seen anything like it before, and they gathered it up every morning. What a feast before God. They had meat in the evening, and they had heavenly bread the next morning. The feast that Nebuchadnezzar gave was nothing compared to the feast that God gave his people. The feast that King Ahasuerus gave for his officials was nothing compared to the feeding of the millions in the desert. A president's inaugurational ball is nothing compared to the table of God spread before his people. Millions of starving people were eating on the desert floor food from God, food from heaven. God's only prerequisite for receiving the bread from heaven was given to us in Exodus 16 and 9, and that tells us that God required the people to come near to him, to draw near to him in order to gather the manna from heaven, and they were instructed to leave nothing of it till the morning, for God wanted them to take no thought for tomorrow. God wanted them to gather just enough manna for that day. And so he said, take no thought for what you're going to eat tomorrow. Just gather what you need for today. And God did that so that he could teach the people to constantly depend upon him for their daily needs. The Lord's Prayer is set upon this very foundation. He said, give us day by day our daily bread. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says to us, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? God was asking hungry, starving people to not save any food until tomorrow. But some of the people hid the manna in their tents, and sure enough, the next morning, the manna had spoiled. It had gone bad. See the foolishness of hoarding food, of storing away a lot of things that you may never need. The manna that was stored away by some of them, by the way, who thought that they were wiser and better managers than their neighbors, the manna that was stored away became putrefied and it bred worms and it became good for nothing. What God was saying to his people and what God is saying to you, it is sure and safer in his storehouse than in your very own. When it comes from God, it is always sweeter and fresher. I think the lesson here is very clear. God cares for the needs of every person, and he is opposed to greed. The fallen human nature tells us that if some is good, then more is a lot better. Furthermore, we have this inherent fear of not having enough of something. Thus, we amass ourselves mounds and mounds of stuff that we don't need and we will never use. Most people never wear all of the clothes they have in their closets. And many times, we have stuff stored in our houses in boxes that we have not used in years and probably never will use. Many times our pantries are full of food that's outdated and expired. But what we don't realize is the corrosive effect of abundance. It leads to pride, oppression, and the myth of self-sufficiency. What God was trying to teach us in the decomposing and rotting manner that was left or tried to be kept overnight is that we must depend on Him and we cannot depend on human nature. The Lord allows our supplies to run low or to run out sometimes to test what manner of spirit we have within us and to see the strength of our faith. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ our Lord." Our extremities are God's opportunities. Remember with Elijah and the widow, God let the barrel of meal and the jar of oil run out before interposing His help. Remember Samson lost his sight, he lost his freedom, he lost his serenity and his strength before God supplied him with strength again in response to his prayer to destroy his enemies. We tend to become discouraged and forget all about God's blessings. This is why we become discouraged. We doubt and distrust God's mercy. We doubt God's compassion and God's love. Your present situation seems to look hopeless. You may tend to inflate or exaggerate your predicament. When you focus on the disadvantages of the present, you tend to miss the advantages of your situations and the fact that all things work together for good. Discontentment magnifies the troubles of the past and vilifies what is present without regard to truth or reason. No one talks more foolishly than murmurers. God's people didn't forget about the food, but they seem to have forgotten about the misery and the pain of being enslaved every day and the murder of their male children. We tend to forget about the pain of the old life until it's too late. Satan tells us that those were the good old days. Today I ask you, were they really that good? Does the devil have you longing for the old life? The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, "For I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he wrote the words that you should utter every morning when you wake up. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I pray that you understand what the scriptures are saying to you today. The manna was the bread given by God to save Israel from physical death or starvation. But Jesus Christ is the real bread of God, given to save men from spiritual death. Jesus knows that our deepest needs are not physical, but spiritual. You cannot meet inner needs with physical objects. What we really need is God. And when we have Him, we have everything that we need. This means that the manna was a type of the bread of heaven, a true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You must know that Jesus claimed for Himself that He is the true bread from heaven. And then in John 6:32, Jesus said, "I guarantee you this truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus claimed that he is the bread of God who came down from heaven in John 6:33. He says, God's bread is the man who came from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says, I am that bread of life. Jesus was saying here, he is the living bread that came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give, that Jesus gives, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread, meaning Jesus, shall live forever. The manna was sent by God, but the people had to gather it themselves. And Jesus Christ was sent by God, but you have to receive him for yourself. For the Bible says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I repeat that whosoever, and I'm sure you are whosoever today, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Just as Jesus was the daily bread for the redeemed and the bread upon which they were to feast, we also must seek Jesus in prayer and in the study of his word. Seek him early every day. The Bible tells us in Acts 17 that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God bless you today. My prayer for you today is that you seek the Lord daily and learn to feast upon him so that you may live forever. I am Pastor Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today so that people everywhere will be blessed by the good news of God's Word. My mission is straightforward and comes directly from the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Join with me in this great mission. I want you to know that I listen to every message, read and pray over every email and letter that comes into my office and website. I also would like to invite you to come and worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. at the New Covenant Church of God. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374. or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.